Hello and welcome to Spectrum Iran. Tonight, in the run-up to the 34th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, we'll be focusing on some of the scientific and technological achievements made by the country. Stay with us. Welcome back. Iran will be celebrating the 34th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution on February 10th this year, a day that marks an annual occasion to highlight the most important achievement and success of the revolution, especially with regards to its people. The revolution has inspired technological development and modernity, as well as self-sufficiency in the face of all threats and sanctions imposed against Iran. There are numerous examples to provide a quick survey of the road of rapid development and success Iran has undertaken. The country has made great strides in science and technology, particularly in the key fields of medicine, aerospace, nuclear science, nano, stem cell cloning research, industry, energy, and defense. Tonight, we've invited some experts to shed more light on some of these accomplishments. And in the first segment of our program, we're going to focus on aerospace, and in the second part, nanotechnology. To help us to start our show, we have the pleasure of being joined in the studio by Mr. Mojtaba Soradeghi, Deputy Manager of the Central Center of Design and Development of Iran Space System. Mr. Soradeghi, thank you for taking part in our program, sir.
Pleasure is mine.
Thank you, sir. Before we start our discussion proper, let's take a listen to our introduction. Stay with us.
Has made huge achievements in various fields of science and technology, from nuclear knowledge to aerospace, stem cells and nanotechnology in the last two decades. The most recent accomplishment, Iranian scientists succeeded in sending a monkey into space as a prelude to sending humans. Officials said the animal was launched in a space capsule codenamed Pishgam, or Pioneer. News agencies quoted the director of the Iran Space Agency, Hamid Fazeli, as saying earlier this month that because of biological similarities between humans and monkeys, the latter were selected for the space mission. He also forecasts that Iran would send a human into space within the next 5 to 8 years, and said Iran would send its Sharifsat satellite into orbit before the end of March. Officials said the monkey was sent into space on a Kavushkar rocket that reached a height of 75 miles and returned its shipment intact, with the monkey having survived the trip into the space.
Welcome back to Spectrum Iran. Mojtaba Soradaghi, would you start our program, sir, by telling us more about the recent achievements in this field, in the field of space, Iran unveiling two developing models of satellites, DMs as they're called, a few hours ago, and also having sent a living creature in the form of a monkey into space a few days ago.
Having launched two satellites named Navid and Mehsad into the space, this year we firstly had a launch of a living creature successfully. It's the first time in Iran, and this project, Iran was successful in sending a creature, a monkey, into the outer space, and it's an altitude of over 100 kilometers, and coming back intact to the Earth. The success of this project is to return the creature alive. Otherwise, you know, it's easy to send creatures up there. In addition, today two models, two development models of Nahid and Zore were unveiled, and these two satellites, in fact, are the initial steps to reach the satellites at the altitude of 36,000 meters or geo orbit in order to broadcast television and radio signals, and this was the first step. Today the developmental models were unveiled, and hopefully we will start the space models soon.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations on those achievements. Mr. Soradaghi, what's your take on reaction shown, stance adopted by particularly Western media vis-a-vis Iran's achievements in this particular scientific arena?
These recent years, considering the busy time I had as I was observing the media, I heard that there was a serious contradiction in their speech, and some broadcasting companies, you know, really showed this as not very important, as Iran has not done it, and yes, and other broadcasting said that, you know, this is too big for Iran to do, and they are reacting in a negative manner and trying to hide the reality. But this reality, that apart from United States, the Russia and China, we don't know of any other country which has taken any step in this field. And of course, it will receive opposition from these superpowers. And I was very happy to see such reactions, because our success made them kind of angry and unbelievable to them.
You said, as far as you're concerned, it was a natural reaction, a natural stance adopted by them. Why is this the case? Why do they try to undermine, or why do they try to cast doubt on achievements made by young Iranian scientists, not just in the field of space, aerospace? We've witnessed this in all across the spectrum.
Well, the field of space is a very significant field in the world, which is a very critical field, and the countries, you know, holding these technologies try to keep the monopoly of that, and they don't want to share it with any other countries, because this is a field not many other countries can enter, and it has a great added value, and this is a motivation for a lot of technologies in the world. So they don't like it, basically, like you know, a country like ours that is making fast progress in this field. They don't want this, and they show their opposition, and they're not very willing that we have access to these technologies.
Mr. Soradaghi, tell us more about how you felt, how your team felt when this monkey returned to Earth, having survived this space trip. You're one of the young scientists involved in the project from the outset. Tell us about the prevailing mood in your department, in the space agency, as it were.
Let's see, to convey what the atmosphere we had in that, I need to say that the student team composed of men and women of, you know, MS and PhD students, you know, have been working on this very regularly since about, you know, 10 years ago to reach this technology. And after years of hard work and diligence and these, you know, recent weekends, it was really a round-the-clock effort in the cold climate. They were taking great efforts to test this achievement. And after this, all their effort, I really feel great. And it was an unbelievable pleasure. We can see that many of the young scientists we had are crying out of joy.
Okay. So, Mojtaba Soradri, tell us about the roadmap. Having successfully achieved these goals, what is the roadmap? What is your mid-term, long-term plan as far as space is concerned, sir?
Well, in different fields of space, as we have the missions of Iran's space, you know, programs, we have some roadmaps, you know, some specific roadmaps, and many roadmaps are being developed. Definitely, in three arenas, we know what we are going to do. With regard to the living creature, our goal is to put a human being, a living human being, in the Earth orbit. And in case of telecommunication and geo satellites, you know, in the end of this decade, in about 8-9 years, and in case of telecommunication satellites, we want to reach a level of 36,000 meters to broadcast, you know, radio and television signals with all the facilities that we have. The initial steps have already been taken, and with regard to other types of satellites, you know, we need to develop satellites with high resolutions, which can be used, which could be used in agricultural, natural resources, and monitoring other fields in the Earth. We need to achieve this. These are the roadmaps which have, these are the goals actually, and we have plans for these, and we'll have several launches to reach these goals.
Mr. Soradri, what makes the achievements in your particular field of science more important than it actually is the accomplishments having been made in the face of all threats and sanctions? Tell us about these obstacles in the way of your achievements. How have sanctions affected your arena of science?
Well, the sanctions definitely influenced the progress, but they will just make our movement kind of sluggish. On the other hand, it brings us a lot of merits. For example, at the moment, you know, for buying a lot of sensors and some components of the systems, we could easily buy them if we were not under sanction, but because of the sanctions, we have to build these components, which lengthens the project up to 3 to 6 months. But the good thing is that, you know, we finally have made that, you know, those components. I cannot deny that, you know, the sanctions are influential on our progress, but we will have, you know, some achievements on the way too. I have been in these projects from the scratch, and I am well aware that these satellites and the RASAT satellite that we are building, you know, we can see that when we have a problem of components of those satellites, you know, in all the world order.
Mr. Soradri, you refer to satellites, Navid, RASAT satellite, and the two developing models of Nahid and Zohre. Tell us more about the satellites which your space agency, Iran Space Agency, has launched so far, and the ones that are in line, that the ones that that are in the prototype stage. Tell us more about this satellite plan.
We have launched three national satellites before 1387. We had, you know, satellite plans like Zore satellite plan or Sina satellite. You know, it was a common experience with other countries. But after 1387, because of some reasons, you know, including sanctions, we decided to do it, you know, independently. Omid, Rasad, and Navid were three satellites, you know, made by Iranians and reaching the majority of the goals they had. Omid satellite was a simple communication satellite to run the initial tests, but Rasad was a, you know, imaging satellite, and Navid satellite was imaging satellite with higher resolution, and it did its purpose, you know, very well, and it sent us quite good pictures from the Earth. The next satellite would be Fajr satellite, with its mission to change its orbit with the thruster from an oval form to a circle form, and this is a great achievement, and it's going to be launched very soon. And then we have Sharif satellite, you know, made by Sharif University students, which I've heard is going to be finished, and there is great compatibility with the previous satellites. Sharif is an imaging satellite, but with a very high resolution, and we hope to announce this very good news to our people. After that, we will have satellites with more accuracy in positioning to reach the geo and imaging, you know, orbits, like Nahid satellite, which was unveiled today. You know, very nice opening solar panels was there, are there to absorb, you know, electrical powers and do the test the telecommunication.
Mr. Soradaghi, tell us about collaboration between your space organization and other Iranian firms, companies, and are there any collaboration or cooperation with other countries, with international companies in this regard?
Well, so far, domestically, the space organization is the promoter of space activities, and it's going it is managing the system at the systemic and ultra-systemic levels. But we have a lot of academic and university projects, like Sharif, you know, project. And we have three research centers in Tabriz and Shiraz and Isfahan. And we are cooperating with a lot of electronic, you know, industries, and some of these satellites have been made in there. In addition, the satellite carriers, you know, are made with the cooperation of aerospace, you know, programs, and with other countries and in international arena, we have an active cooperation, like the Union for Peaceful Use of Space program, and other organizations such as APSCO, you know, Asia and Oceania Aerospace, you know, programs, or ITU, and we have active cooperation with these.
Before I let you go, Mr. Soradaghi, in 1 minute, tell us about Iran's TRL, technology readiness level, sir, in less than a minute.
In some fields, in some systems, we have reached the highest level of TRL, it is technology readiness level, and testing the component in this space, you know, we have in some parts we are between 5 and 9 TRL, and we hope to improve
these
very soon.
Once again, I'd like to congratulate you on behalf of all my colleagues for the achievements in this important scientific field. We've come to the end of this segment of our show. Special thanks to Mojtaba Soradaghi, Deputy Manager of Center of Design and Development of Iran's Space System. Thank you. After the break, we're going to focus on nanotechnology. Stay with us. Welcome back to Spectrum Iran. We are now going to talk about accomplishments made in the field of nanotechnology in Iran. We have the pleasure of being joined by two experts in the scientific arena. In the studio is Mr. Emad Ahmadvand, manager at Department of Promotion and Public Education of Iran Nanotechnology Initiative Council, INIC. Mr. Ahmadvand, thank you for taking part in our program, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. And on the phone is Dr. Reza Asadifat, Director of Marketing and Industry of INIC. Dr. Asadifat, thank you for taking part, sir.
Hello, and it's my pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Ahmadvand, I'd like to start with you, sir. Tell us about our countries, about Iran's recent achievement in this important scientific field, sir.
The development of nanotechnology has had an age of decade, and we have, during this decade, we have had great achievements of great interest, and including in some fields of developments of human resources in field of nanotechnology, we have had great achievements in. And over 13,000, you know, masters and PhD candidates in field of nanotechnology, which are doing and conducting research in these fields. In field of production of products, we have more than 100 firms in Iran, which provide, you know, different and various products with regard to nanotechnology. And some of these, you know, products are sold and supplied in the domestic and international markets. On the whole, we can see that in all fields of nanotechnology, in different fields like education, human resources, research, and products, and getting close to these to market and commercializing these products, we have had great achievements.
Thank you, Dr. Asadifat, sir. Islamic Republic of Iran having lifted itself to being among the top nations, top 10, some say 8th, some say 9th. What are the national plans, vision, roadmap? Shed more light on that for us, sir.
We focused on nanotechnology since a decade ago with starting a national plan named Future Strategy. We are in the late years of this first 10-year national plan, and we are providing a new 10-year national plan for a new decade. So we achieved great achievement in this roadmap, in national roadmap for nanotechnology.
Thank you. Mr. Ahmadvand, how impressive are Iran's recent nano achievements as compared to that made by other leading nations in the world, sir?
The achievements made by Iran in fields of nanotechnology are maybe the more important thing than the achievement is the conditions under which we achieve these goals. You know, in the face of sanctions, we have had these achievements, and in field of nanotechnology, Iran is making progress in its development while not having access to a lot of facilities and amenities in the world, and exchanging, you know, technology with the world. And the products is very difficult because of the sanctions. But the most important feature of Iran's achievement is the conditions they have, and they have a kind of self-development. So we supply, you know, provide our products with the domestic capabilities in Iran, and this causes our development to be based on domestic products and domestic capabilities. So another feature of these achievements is that, you know, with we have access, we have paid attention to all circles and chains of, you know, innovation and nanotechnology, you know, taken from public education to commercializing the products. And the achievements we have at the moment are the products of academicians who have studied, you know, who who have studied little about, you know, nanotechnology in fields of in the, you know, high school and things like that. But now we have over 100,000, you know, high school students who are familiar with this technology, and we have research centers, you know, for these people with domestically made facilities. This naturally causes that in the future years and before the next 10 years, the progress, the slope of the progress in the nanotechnology will definitely soar, and commercializing our products and reaching the markets for nanotechnology products will have a strong soaring growth. In addition, you know, great attention paid to the health issues with case of nanotechnology. We are producing some kinds of medicines, you know, for cancer using nanotechnology. We have paid special attention to environment and humans' health. You know, many of the products, you know, produced in Iran are focusing on these qualities, which are unique in Iran.
Thank you, Mr. Ahmadan. Dr. Asadi Fahd, as one of the guys involved with exhibitions, various exhibitions having been staged in Iran, we've hosted, or you have hosted, many overseas visitors and guests and experts in this particular field. What have been their feedbacks, their impressions upon before returning back to the country, sir?
Yeah. You know, because of embargo that we are under it, when people from other countries come to Iran and see the achievement, I mean, they get impressed and they shock with the level of technology that developed in Iran in nanotechnology. Because, for example, we produce lots of laboratory equipment and machinery we need to investigate on nanotechnology, conduct research on nanotechnology, and also produce nanomaterials, nanoproducts related to nanotechnology. So they see that we are, developing our technology standalone, and we could produce, for example, facilities that they don't sell, that the West don't companies don't sell to us. So they see that we would be the newcomer of of the market, and we could compete with them in the market, and we can provide their historical customers with products, with facilities, with better quality, with cheaper and competitive price. So they get impressed and they say, you would be the new rival of our companies in the market. And it is amazing for them. For example, when they see that Iran is one of the first countries that could come up with a new nanodrug, nanomedicine, that it is an anti-cancer medicine, very high-tech medicine, that we released it to the market, they, became very impressed. Our exhibition is a very good place to show what we achieved in this, few years we started our program at Iran.
Thank you, Dr. Asadi Fahd. Mr. Ahmadvand, what are the important factors in determining the rank of a nation as far as nanotechnology is concerned? So what are the criteria?
To determine the position and level of countries in field, in different fields of technology, including nanotechnology, there are different indexes. In field of science production and scientific indexes, the number of articles published in internationally well-known scientific papers or journals like ISI papers. It's a kind of indicator and index for determining the level and position of scientific levels. Many countries, when announce, you know, their level of scientific, is based on the publication level. In field of nanotechnology, also the name, the number of papers published in, you know, prominent international scientific journals is considered an index in comparing, you know, countries' success and the levels. We are among the top 10 countries, and in the end of 2012 we have had the 8th rank, and it's based on the scientific production. In the coming, you know, steps beyond technology, it's the number of patents, you know, international patents considered as an index for technology, and in that field we have you know, quite a number of patents made by, you know, Iranian scientists. We consider that, you know, as a kind of index for success of technology field.
Thank you, Mr. Ahmadvand. Dr. Reza Asadifat, tell us more about targeting the commercialization of nanotech-based domestic products. What is being done in this regard?
Yeah, we targeted mainstreams and priorities to get the best ranks in the world in nanotechnology. One field is energy. I mean, it includes the oil, gas, and petrochemical industry, and also new renewable energies like solar cells and fuel cells with nanotechnology, because, you know, we are a rich country about also, crude oil, and also, energy flux, solar energy flux. So we invest on these technologies. Also, other area of priority is water and environment. You know, water is one of the restrictions of our region, and also health. Also, we focus on health area, on anti-cancer drugs and drug delivery systems and diagnostic systems with nanotechnology, and also construction. You know, we need, we are a young population, and we need lots of construction in the country. Mm-hmm. So we try to penetrate nanotechnology in several existing industry, and also established new industries, new industries based on nanotechnology. Up to now, we entered nanotechnology to at least 8 segment of market. For example, in building industry, our Iranian companies could produce nanoproducts like silent pipe that it damps the sound of water flow in the buildings, or for example, self-cleaning technology for using in textile like carpet, home furniture, home appliance, and antibacterial technology in refrigerator and other parts of kitchen and furniture, and also with other other industries like energy power plants. One of our big filter companies, K came up with nano air filters that can efficiently absorb small parts, about 100 nanometer small particles, and they could improve the efficiency of power plants. You know, we have lots of power plants in the country, so it is very crucial. Technology we need. Also in healthcare, we came up with 2 nano medicine in for anti-cancer and also some other hygienic products. And in some other areas also we have products. At all holy, we have now more than 100 nanoproducts in the market, and at least 100 other in the pipeline that will be in the market for few next years.
Thank you, Dr. Reza Asadi Fahd. We'll get to the last segment of our program after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Spectrum Iran. Emad Ahmadvand, we've got over 2 minutes left, sir. Tell us, as an expert in this field, in the field of nanotechnology, one of the young scientists working in this field in Iran, how do you see the future of this particular field of science?
As Dr. Asadi Fahd said, it's about a decade that we have the development of nano, and the development of nanotechnology has started in our country when we had fewer than 10 specialists in this field. It was at the beginning, of course. Having passed this decade, we have 50 steps of improvement in the international ranking in fields of nanotechnology, and it can be said that the core of nanotechnology, which was planted, you know, about 10 years ago in Iran, is reaching to its final products, and we can describe it as a plant which we can use in different parts through pruning and things like that. Naturally, in future and hopefully in near future, the status of Iran with regard to nanotechnology will be very much different from the present situation, because the entrance of high school students and university students into this kind of technology is very different from the world. Other prominent countries usually have the lack of human resources, and we have a much better status with regard to human resources. At the moment, we have reached to a level in which the development of nanotechnology is increasing and doubling, tripling, quadrupling, and in future, in case of products and scientific level, we will have a stronger position.
On that note, we've come to the end of this edition of Spectrum Iran. Special thanks to both our guests for their time and input. We are joined in this segment of the program in the studio by Mr. Emad Ahmadvand, manager at Department of Promotion and Public Education of Iran Nanotechnology Initiative Council, INIC. And on the phone, we had the pleasure of being joined by Dr. Reza Asadi Fahd, Director of Marketing and Industry of INIC. Dr. Asadi Fahd, it was a pleasure to have you join our program, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Ahmadvand, nice having you on the program as well, sir.
Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap. I'd like to thank our viewers for staying tuned. A goodbye and God bless.